James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. James is going to three times mention in these 13 verses that faith without works is dead. That's what he's going to try to illustrate for us this evening. Let's pray before we dig into it. Father, we do ask that you would open our eyes, our ears. Help us to place our eyes on you, and help our ears to be attentive, our hearts open. We give you tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith without works is dead. James, in these 13 verses, he asks 7 questions. He gives 6 little examples to illustrate this point. Many people have a hard time with this passage because Paul clearly tells us that we're saved by faith and not of works. And there's some apparent contradictions here. Even in the illustrations used, James uses Abraham as an example. And he looks at how Abraham was justified. And Paul clearly and plainly tells us in Romans that Abraham was justified by faith. And here in James, here James says Abraham was justified by works, working with his faith. So there's a difficulty, so much so that Martin Luther dismisses James, says that it's not true because of its contradiction. Now, we don't believe that the Bible contradicts itself. We believe that it's true and that each book is inspired. So we approach tonight understanding that our idea of faith may need to be broadened a little bit. Our understanding of God may need some help. But we accept everything we read as true, both here and in other books that Paul gives us. But I liked what McGee said about James and Paul concerning this. He says they're not, facing each other, fighting against each other in the points they're making, but rather they're back to back, defending the same truth, but dealing with different issues. They're fighting against different problems. Paul addressing those that try to justify themselves by their works instead of their faith, saying that's not possible. James addressing those that try to act like they have faith without works and saying that's impossible. Different points. So, verse 14 as we get started here. James continues to talk about this practical faith. What profit? What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? What would it profit if someone said, hey, I've got faith, but he didn't have any works? Can faith save him? He begins to give illustrations. He says in verse 15, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? So here's this Christian, a brother or sister, who's cold and needs to be clothed and hungry and starving and needs to be fed, needs necessities, comes to another Christian. And the Christian says, hey, praise the Lord, man. I believe for you. You're going to be clothed. You're going to be fed. I thank God in advance for what God's going to do, but I got to go. See you later. What profit did that Christian do for that naked, hungry, starving person, Christian? What good did his faith do, his profession of faith? Be warmed, be filled. Praise the Lord. What good did that profession of faith do? What good did his faith do for that person? James will let you answer that. What profit was there? He says in verse 17, thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. What does it mean to be dead? Inoperable. If you go out to your car and you put your key in the ignition and you turn it and nothing happens. You don't hear any noises, no beeps, no clicks, doesn't turn over. You say, my car's dead. Won't do anything. It's broken. Doesn't work. If you see a dog lying on the ground and it's not moving, and you get up close and it doesn't appear that it's breathing, doesn't make any noises, doesn't make any movements, you say, oh man, is that dog dead? Because it's not doing anything. And so, faith, this precious possession we have, if it doesn't ever do anything, it's rendered dead. See, chapter 2 kind of talks about how we can protect and maintain our faith. He says in the beginning of the chapter, do not hold the faith of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Our own partiality will taint and interfere with genuine true faith. It'll mess it up when we make our own choices and use our own fleshly judgments involved in it. So protect your faith. Don't add your fleshly decisions. Keep it safe from that. And then also, you can render this faith dead. You can possess this faith and it can become lifeless and useless to you if you don't use it. If there's never any action, if it's never put into practice, it can be considered dead. And this precious, wonderful possession you have can be useless to you. Faith, without any works, is dead. What profit is it? Just like the man, hey, praise the Lord, be fed, be clothed. Didn't do anything. No profit. Gives another illustration. A bunch of little illustrations for you to make your conclusions by. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. See, some people talk like that. You know, you have faith, you have works. Paul says you're saved by faith. James says you're saved by works. James says, hey, you can talk like that if you want, but I don't talk like that. He says, you can say you have faith. You know, one person has faith, one person has works, but no. He says, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. If you want to separate the two, go ahead. He says, I'm going to do it different. You can go ahead and try to show me your faith without your works, like the man who said, praise the Lord, be clothed, be filled. I'm believing God for you. But I'm going to do it different, he says. I don't separate them. I'm going to express and show my faith by my works, in my action. What I do is going to be an expression of my faith. That's how I'm going to show you that I believe in God, by my actions. You want to separate the two? You want to try to make distinction? Go ahead. But I'm just going to express my faith by my works. I'll show you my faith by my works. That's the way I'm going to do it. Verse 19, he gives yet another little illustration. He says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. The Jews had a creed that they said often, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And they believed in the one and only true living God. And they looked down on other nations that believed in polytheism. They worshipped many gods. Everything was a deity. They said, no, there's one true God. And they believed that he was real. They believed God was one. He says, that's very good. That's really good. It's good to believe in the one living true God. That's good. He said, but, you know, it's interesting that demons believe in the one God also. They believe. They believe Jesus was the Son of God. They confessed it when he was on earth. Son of the living God. They believed. And tremble. That's what their faith gets them. Demons are afraid. Oh, they were afraid of Jesus. They were terrified of Jesus. Their faith, the reality of their faith, brought terror. Just an interesting little point James brings up. Their faith didn't help them. Their faith doesn't save them. It brings terror and fear. And so some people believe God is real. They believe Jesus died on the cross for their sins. They believe. They believe in the one true living God. They know that he's real and he's right. But that reality terrifies them because they haven't given their heart to God. because they know that their actions are contrary to what God desires. Because they know that their lifestyle is wrong. So their faith brings fear. It's interesting. You believe. It's good to believe. But demons believe too. Sometimes faith can cause fear. Even the demons believe and tremble. Verse 20. This is a really interesting, convicting question. He says, "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" He said, "Do you really not want to know the truth? Do you want to know what it's really all about? Do you really want to comprehend the idea of how faith and works complement each other and work together? Because the knowledge brings responsibility. Do you really want to know how it all fits together? Or do you want to just kind of write it off, hey, I believe and that's all I need to know about it?" Some people have a belief, a faith, and they think that that faith saves or justifies them. And they're deceived. He says, do you want to know the truth? Do you want to know the truth about faith? He asked the question in the beginning, can faith save you? Can faith save you? Now, I told you that there are some apparent contradictions, because what does Paul say? We're saved by faith, and faith is what justifies us. But James here is saying, you know what? Dead faith can't save you. Dead faith can't do anything. It's useless. He's given illustrations of this. You need to put feet to your faith. Do you want to know the truth of how faith works? Oh, foolish man, faith without works is dead. He gives another illustration in the person of Abraham. Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Story of Abraham, the father of faith, the greatest, one of, if not the greatest, one of the greatest examples of faith. For we associate with Abraham, and so we are children of faith, like Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was imparted to him as righteousness. Abraham was a picture and an example of faith. And yet, James says, he asks the question, was he justified by works when he offered his son on the altar? What was it that we point to when we say Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness? What do we point to when we say that? We point to the story that God told Abraham, among other things, to offer his son to him as a sacrifice. And this son was promised to bring forth a nation of people from his descendants. And Abraham, confused, obeyed and said, you know what? Maybe God's just going to raise him from the dead, because I believe God is real and I believe God is true. So he acted in obedience and he laid his son on the altar in obedience. And God said, hey, I'm not going to really have you kill your son. Just wanted to test and see if you were going to believe. I'm the one that has to offer my son to save the world. But his act of putting his son on the altar out of obedience was an expression of his faith. And that's what we point to. We say Abraham believed God. How? Where? When? When he obeyed. He also obeyed when God told him to come out of the land of Chaldeans. He obeyed. And the Bible, when it talks about in the book of Hebrews about Abraham and Moses and Abel and Enoch and about their faith, it says by faith they did this and they did that. And it points always to an action, a work that they performed by faith. And so Abraham believed by faith. He obeyed by faith. He offered his son by faith. He put feet to his faith. And he performed works and actions. So James says, was it his works that justified him? Now Paul says, Abraham was justified not by works, but by faith. Say, wait a second here. You said that the Bible doesn't contradict itself, and that it supports the truth, and that James and Paul agree. One says he was justified by works, and one says he's justified by faith. How was he justified? Well, he poses the question, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Look at the next verse for clarification. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. So, if you told James, hey, Abraham was justified by faith, he would say, yep, and by works. If you were to define it, it was his faith. But he says, I don't make distinctions and say, hey, Abraham had faith and others had works. He says, hey, I see that Abraham used his faith. And that was expressed through works. He did something. So, we have this precious faith, and we're trying to protect it. We're trying to preserve it. He says, don't add your own partiality. He says, don't render it dead by not using it. Now he says, what do you do? He says, when you add your works, you make your faith complete. Just like Abraham. He, it says, together with his works, was working his faith, was working together with his works, and by works made his faith perfect. And that word perfect means complete. So how do we complete our faith? How do we develop and grow our faith? By what we do. By acting upon it and by using it. So the example in Abraham. Justified by faith. Expressing it by works. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Interesting, it was said that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness before he offered his son on the altar. Chapter 15 of Genesis. Chapter 22 is when he offered his son on the altar. Notice what he says here. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The scripture was fulfilled in his putting his son on the altar. Fulfilled. The fulfillment of his faith was through his works and his actions. Something's really funny over here on the left. The scripture was fulfilled through his actions. Promised before, fulfilled through works. Verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works and not faith only. Justified by faith, but not without action or works. Because faith without works is dead. Even demons believe. One last example. The person of Rahab. Likewise, in verse 25. Was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? So here's Rahab and the story in Joshua. She lived in Jericho. And the nation of Israel, the army, was coming. And she heard about the God of Israel. And she heard how they delivered Israel from Egypt. And how he did many miracles in the wilderness. And she believed that their God was going to give them the city of Jericho. She believed that their God was true and real. But James says, and we know that her faith and her belief is what saved her and what justified her. And yet James says, you know what? It was really an action she actually displayed. When the people came, she took them into her house. What if Rahab believed that? What if there was someone else in Jericho that heard the same stories and thought, you know what? They're probably true. We're probably going to die. And then went along with the rest of the city, mocking the nation as they walked around the city or whatever they did. What if Rahab never took the spies into her house? What if she never tied the scarlet cord outside her window? What if she didn't do anything? Would she have been saved? Would she have been justified? James says it was what she did. She believed, but she also received the spies into her house and sent them out another way. She protected them. She did something. There was works involved. Verse 26. For as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. This word dead could also be translated barren or fruitless. And yet the illustration at the end makes it very clear. As a body without the Spirit. What is a body without the Spirit? A dead body. The definition of death when our soul and spirit leaves our body. That's what faith is without works. It's dead. It's useless. It's barren and fruitless. So, James, continuing to talk about this faith, this practical faith, this faith that endures in chapter 1, gets us through hard times. We use it when things heat up. We count it all joy, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. This faith makes a difference, this practical faith, as we hear the word of God and we do it. We act upon it. It changes our lives and it affects those around us, this faith. And this faith needs to be taken care of. We don't add our own partiality. We don't neglect it by not failing to use it. But we add our works. We use it. We put it into action. And then it becomes complete and perfect and useful and effective. Faith. Let's pray. Father, we look to you and we ask that you help us to understand faith. As James said, O foolish man, do you want to know that faith without works is dead? Father, we want to know the truth. We want to know what you desire from us. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to displease you or get it wrong as we live our lives here on earth. Open our eyes, Lord. Show us what you require of us, what you desire from us. Father, help us to use our faith. Thank you for the gift you've given us and the opportunity we have to believe in you, to express our faith. Help us, Lord, by your mercy and grace, to take advantage, to use it. Show us how. Show us a way to express our faith this week. Show us a tangible, practical thing we can do to put feet to our faith. We love you, Lord. We believe in you. And we thank you for all your goodness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.